Dane and I, Chappelle, we always quote Temptations because that's like one of our favorite movies, my favorite all-time group. And this particular incident reminds me of the David Ruffin part where they went to visit him at his house and he was like,
ain't nobody come to see you, Otis. Yeah.
He was like, well, I'm gone. Called his bluff, he's like, well, I'm gone. And he just walked out. He said, y'all know I'm just kidding.
Y'all know the plan? Yeah.
Y'all Rick know I'm just be playing.
Rick came back talking about when I gotta get the shot. No, it's too late, baby.
We're now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Hello and welcome to episode 55 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my brother, Dane Beasley. Dane, how are you doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good for a Monday. Everybody loves Mondays, right?
We love it. We love Mondays, man. We're joined by another guest.
Okay, I see how we're getting started today.
We love the Mondays. Joined by our guest, a great friend of ours. I'm just going to call him the podcast poppy because this dude is on like everybody's podcast. And we are very happy and we are very grateful that the wonderful Chappelle has joined us on this episode of the Duo. Chappelle, how you doing, my dude?
DD. I'm good, man. Appreciate you for the invite, Dane. Deontay, thank y'all for having me. Hey, this is episode 55, the T-Sizzle episode. What's up?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, it's time, T-Sizzle, bro. Yeah. Perfect time to have me on. Thank y'all for the invitation.
Of course, man. I know this is long overdue. This is something that should have happened a long time ago, and I'll take the blame for that. And I know Dane's going already.
100%.
Go ahead, Dane.
Let me tell you like this. I've been seeing all the retweets, all the different podcasts you've been on. I was like T-Pain back in high school. It's like featuring Chappelle. So I was like, I'm going to get this man on the pod. So fast forward about 50 episodes later, you're finally here. But, you know, like my man already said, you're going to take the blame for it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to do it too bad. But, you know, I'll get with my people, make sure this doesn't happen again.
No, Dane, it's fine. I knew it was Deontay's fault.
It's nothing.
We don't like to talk about T-Pain too much. We have an altercation, but it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about that.
Wait, yeah, you really did, didn't you?
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that. That's not why we came here today. Let's talk about sports and stuff.
Oh, man.
Sports. Yeah. No, okay, before we get to that, though, we rolled out the red carpet for you. Man, kind of tell the people what you do. What other podcasts have you been on?
Oh, yeah. I am a freelance, a.k.a., you know, I just go wherever people call me. But, you know, I podcast a little bit, mostly about reality TV. I'm featured on The Rob Has a Podcast Network, talking about everything from Big Brother, Survivor, all kinds of reality shows. But then also on post-show recaps, I talk weekly about The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. So a little nerdy stuff here and there. But, you know, I'm always here to talk about really anything. So I'm happy y'all invited me because I'm down for whatever. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I do. I just go where they call me.
I appreciate you, man. Most gracious to have you on, man. Last episode, I had Shahan Jayaraja from Dave Campbell Texas Football talk about all the crazy realignment stuff. So if you're not listening to that episode, make sure you go back and listen, watch, however you want to do that on any digital streaming platform or YouTube. So yeah, a lot of craziness has been going on since Dane and I have recorded. One of the things that's been one of the main topics in the NFL is the recent COVID policy that the NFL has laid out. And this tweet from Tom Pelissero just basically talks about the NFL informing the clubs that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season, now it's 18 weeks instead of 17, due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and be credited with a loss for playoff seeding. And then another implication to that is that team's set of players will not get paid for that game check and the opposing team as well. So, Chappelle, since you're our guest, man, when you heard about that, what kind of went through your mind, especially everything that's going on with COVID this year and COVID in sports in general?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. But I mean, can you blame these people at this point? You know, we want to keep everybody safe. It's clear. I mean, Dane says it on the podcast before, like money, you know, this is all about money at the end of the day. So it's clear that the NFL doesn't care about these people's health that much. You know, they're still going to let them play football. At the end of the day, they're going to make money. So I think they feel like this is the best way that they can address this safely and within the 18-week season that they planned. They don't want to lose a bunch of money trying to reschedule stuff. They don't want to go outside of time. And so they feel like the best way is to, you know, kind of force their hands and make everybody be responsible for, you know, the outbreaks and, you know, getting vaccinated and handling their business when it comes to that kind of stuff. So it was a lot. I read through the, you know, the tweets and all the people's arguments and stuff. And I was like, whew, I'm glad that ain't me. Yeah. But, you know, smarter people than me are here to make these decisions. You know, what do y'all think?
Man, you know what? I don't give the NFL a lot of credit for a lot of things. But I think they got this one right. And I hate to be that guy, but like, man, there's nothing more fearful, nothing more peer pressuring than being the only unvaccinated guy in the squad and y'all having to forfeit your game check, the team's game check, and the opposing team. And it's like, if you've heard an angry mob after you drop the game on a touchdown is one thing, but on top of losing the game that you got paid to play in, right? You're going to lose the game and cost other people their money, their livelihood. And like we all know, we know plenty of players in the league that not only, you know, them relying on the money that they bring in, but they're supporting multiple families, unfortunately. And so that's the implications are going to be huge. So, I mean, it's shout out to the NFL. Shout out to the NFL. That was good.
That's a rare occasion, Dane saying that. Funny. Yeah.
I don't rock with the dudes like that, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm with Dane.
Yeah. What's really crazy is like around that same time, like the last few weeks, like players like, well, the most outspoken player has been Cole Beasley against vaccinations, of course, and or Schmoe Schmeasley, we'll call him. Dane, you share last name with this
Beasley
guy.
Beasley.
His name is Les Welker from here moving forward.
Les Welker. But yeah, he's been very vocal about, you know, not being vaccinated and, you know, all the conspiracy theories and all that. And you've seen a backlash from a bunch of players, including one of the biggest players, you know, in the game, wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins came out and, you know, man, it was crazy. He came out and of course, like everything, the tweet gets deleted because that's how things are. You tweet something crazy, and you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
We got the receipts though. I'm about to read the receipts, man.
He tweeted, "Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL." And then he deleted a tweet and he retweeted something else that said freedom ? Which I'm like, man, and I had this conversation with Dane Chappelle. With everything that has gone on in the past few years with the NFL, with the Black Lives Matter movement, even going back to Colin Kaepernick being blackballed, and for this kind of thing where a lot of players didn't, you know, were scared to take a knee because they were afraid of their owners. And then something like the COVID vaccine, which has proven to help, you know, save lives, obviously, and the NFL putting down this policy, like, bro, the battles that you chose to fought here don't really make sense.
Math ain't math.
Yeah, it's a choice. Your boy Bobby G from Baylor, Robert Griffin, he had something to say. I said, come on, Rob, man. I try to be a Rob defender. He from the area. You know, he's from the neighborhood. Yeah, so, you know, man. I try to defend him. But dang, bro, like Colin Kaepernick out here getting blackballed. Donald Trump calling y'all sons of bitches. And nobody say nothing. Oh, I'll just be quiet. I won't play football.
Yeah.
But somebody say, hey, get this to save your life. Oh, my God, it's slavery. It's not. What happened? What do we got to do? Like, baby, just get the vaccine. Or don't, honestly. I didn't see the policy say you had to get vaccinated. Just know that if the circumstances line up and this game cannot be rescheduled, we all gonna be looking upside your head. I'm with y'all. This was a choice.
Right.
Why is this where you plant your flag? Also, let's be very clear. A lot of these NFL players had to go to college. And some Texas requires all college students get vaccinated with the bacterial meningitis vaccine in order to get in. Before you can take freshman classes, unless it's part of against your religion, you have to take that vaccine. I ain't never heard nobody ask me what was in the bacterial meningitis vaccine. But COVID come up, right. And now everybody want to be a pharmacist and an immunologist and stuff like that. Like,
YouTube
bro,
conspiracy.
Here.
They watching too many YouTube right. videos.
But why this and, one? Like, so yeah, this was a choice.
Going back to the freedom thing, like when he tweeted the freedom question mark, like your freedom. I mean, you have freedom. You have the choice to take the vaccine or not. But if you don't, you got to be prepared for the consequences of not taking it. And that's what these are. And so, like, yeah, that argument where these players are questioning it is not making sense. And going back to the point of them going to college, I thought you were going to talk about them getting an education. Which, like,
well, I mean, some of them probably could have stayed the whole time. some of them probably could have taken some extra electives. That's all I'm going to say. You know, it would be nice, but this was hard to see on Twitter. It really was.
Man. And yeah, even your boy Judon from the Ravens had tweeted his grievance, or not grievance, but how he felt about the NFLPA. And you're a Ravens fan, man. How do you feel about that?
I see man, I seen the tweets, and I am a Ravens fan, for better or for worse. But I mean, I had to look up inside his head too, because he like, oh well, in the comments, he's like, well, how do you know I'm talking about that? You don't know if I'm vaccinated. Shut up. We know what you're talking about. Stop it. We ain't dumb. And so. Come on, man. Honestly, maybe the NFLPA is not a great union. You know what I'm saying? Like, who am I to say? But at the same time, I don't think that this is indicative of that. I actually think this is for everyone's health. You know what I'm saying? Like, the idea that they didn't shut down football altogether. Y'all, they seem to forget that that was a blessing. Everything else got shut down. People couldn't even go to school in person, but y'all could play a hand-to-hand, face-to-face combat, like, sport, like a contact sport. Like, when y'all are inches away from each other for a whole season during a global pandemic, and now you complaining. I guess. You know, I don't know. Right. It just seemed like, man, you don't want to waste your energy on this one.
Right, and good point. And like what Dane was saying, as far as, you know, as much as we have been hard on the NFL, and we know at the end of the day what they see is, we want to get as far away from a cancellation. I mean, we didn't cancel any games last year. We rescheduled them, but those games got played because, you know, we got to make that money. But at the end of the day, they're trying to protect the business. It's like, I see it as like a company trying to protect its investment as far as the other employees, like the vaccinated employees and the other people that are a part of the product that's being put on the field. And so this is a part of that. Like, I felt like I was surprised that the players were surprised that this was going to happen, because a lot of the argument last year was the NFL not being proactive and, you know, not being prepared for COVID and how they're going to deal with people get testing positive and cancellations and all that. And so now that they're actually being proactive and doing those things, it kind of like, man, what did y'all expect kind of thing, you know?
Here's the thing. As a player, to try to call the NFL's bluff, let's go look at prime example. Is it Rick Denson out of the Vikings?
Yeah.
He said, I ain't getting no COVID shot. I ain't doing that. I ain't doing none of that. Now, peep game, one of the toughest, most difficult positions or coaching positions to maintain or hold on to, offensive line coaches. Like, but once you get your foot in the door there, you are set. You are set, because from offensive line, you go up to OC, then you go up to head coach, and the sky's the limit. This brother just so happens to be the offensive line coach and running game coordinator of the Vikings, which, of course, has one of the best running backs in the league. And I guess homie thought he was Teflon and was like, ain't nobody getting no vaccine. And less than a few days later, they said, go and hand in your playbook and your parking pass, because you out of here, B. You're going to be coaching somewhere in Division II somewhere after we finish with you. So
that immediately reminded me, Dane and I, Chappelle, we always quote Temptations, because that's like one of our favorite movies, my favorite all-time group. And this particular incident reminds me of the David Ruffin part where they went to visit him at his house and he was like,
ain't nobody come to see you, Otis. Yeah.
He was like, well, I'm gone. Called his bluff, he's like, well, I'm gone. And yeah. They just walked out. He said, y'all know I'm just kidding.
Y'all know I'm just playing? Yeah.
Y'all Rick know I'm just be playing?
Rick came back talking about when I got to get the shot. No, it's too late, baby. Ain't nobody come here to see you, Rick. Man. You know?
Him and that was going to bring up another point. Rick Dennison and it was another coach. I want to say it was another O-line coach. I want to say for Buffalo. I'm not sure,
supposed to be the smartest position group in the NFL.
That brings me back to DeAndre Hopkins talking about he was so-called thinking about retiring, and then that brought me up to the in Captain America: Civil War when they were reading a course on a table. With General Ross and Black Widow was like, well, what happens if we don't agree to these terms? And he was like, then you retire. That's exactly like, you know, NFL gonna keep rolling on regardless, man. Like, I mean, I know you're one of the greatest in the game right now, but I mean, the object is to protect the investment for the NFL. And like, I just didn't see how they were surprised about this outcome. Man, but
also you guys, do y'all remember last year when the games were getting rescheduled and you had teams like, I don't know, the Steelers, like, oh, the Ravens had to reschedule our game. Now they got a bye week before they play us. And blah, y'all did all that whining and now they said, okay, no rescheduling. It was like, well, hold on, baby. You got too much dip on your chip. Like, wait a minute. Y'all, you wanted this. So this will protect
The Broncos had to play a practice squad receiver at quarterback starting in a game. It was ridiculous. Like, so I applaud them trying to take out any, you know, make all the proactive measurements that they need to do to protect the game and, you know, keep games played and also keep players safe because you don't want to get COVID. Like, at the end of the day, COVID is killing millions of people. So, I mean, we could say it's the money thing, obviously, but, you know, also about protecting the people. We talked about people retiring and there was a rumor earlier in the week and came to be unproven today that Aaron Rodgers was thinking about retiring, but now it looks like he is on the last dance per se with the Green Bay Packers. all right, I'm gonna kick it to you first, Dan. Aaron Rodgers.
I'm just here to respond because I seen that foolishness like ain't no damn way. Ain't no doubt, you know, you see like a little preview of the picture on Twitter and open up the whole thing. Like, okay, cool. Somebody made that picture. Aaron. And then I scroll. Hey, there's Devontae. So it sounds like, come on, bro.
The last dance, bro. They going out. They getting the ring, they saying.
Boys ain't won nothing in a whole decade. But come on, we going out on the left. Come on, man. Come on, man.
My thing is, like, he went through, you know, this entire offseason, all the attention he's gained, him not answering certain questions. And at the end of the day, he's going back to Green Bay. I'm confused at this point because what was that entire situation for? Like, why go through all this? Just say, hey, I'm coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get the theatrics of it. Is that just a quarterback thing? Is that just who Aaron Rodgers is? I don't know.
Hey, maybe he Hollywood. Aaron Rodgers is a big name, you know. Maybe he feel like he elicits that kind of attention, you know. Maybe that's his thing. Maybe he changed his mind. He probably had a good idea for like, look, I want out. And then a few months go by, you're like, well, maybe I might just stick around a little bit longer, you know, talk to his people, that kind of thing. So maybe that's where he at. He just had a change of heart.
I guess we're entitled to give him that kind of freedom.
Yeah. He might need to get in touch with Vegas, though, because they shut down the betting because of him. Like, what's going on here?
And I asked Dane that. I'm like, how does the sports book know or if he's about to retire? Like, they're saying he's going to retire. Like, how do you know that?
And the odds are so favorable, too. Like, I'm like, am I dumb if I don't put a little change on
you? Yeah, you sent that to me. I'm like,
$2,000 payout.
Man. I mean, what was the tip they got? they must have had something. There must have been something concrete for them to think like, okay, this is happening. Shut it all down. Like, you know, DEF CON 1, you know, what happened here to where they thought that this was really going to happen just for like, what, 2 weeks later? Not even a week later. We just shut everything down.
Yeah.
And for the Packers, going back to like their outlook on the season, I mean, obviously it looks like it's pointing that way towards it being Aaron Rodgers last year in Green Bay, maybe even Davante Adams. Dane, how do you see the outlook? I mean, the NFC North looks like it's theirs for the taking again. They've been pretty dominant in that division. But at the NFC as a whole, making like a deep playoff run, maybe to the Super Bowl, how do you see that going?
Hell, I don't know. I think more than anything, I don't know whose side to be on with contract negotiations with Davante Adams' camp. Yeah, one side saying that the Packers themselves shut it down. It's like, hey, we're done trying to make this happen. And then, of course, you heard from Davante Adams' side. It's like, hey, we're pulling the plug on it. So I don't know what to make of it, but I love when players get paid because I feel it's their due for the hard work they put in for many, many, many years. But I think it comes down to me, the better question, Mr. Producer Man, is not so much as who's going to be in charge or who's going to have more power over that particular division this year, but maybe next year when possibly Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers are both gone. We have no idea what we're going to see. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, if they're gone, that's Justin Fields' division. I think we talked about that a little bit.
I'd like to think that I have a little bit more hope in the all-pro Andy Dalton, bro. I'm just saying.
Now you're trolling.
I'm just putting it out there. Let's not jump to conclusions about an Ohio State quarterback.
He's trolling. He's trolling.
What did he say?
Andy Dalton.
Hold on. Andrew? Not Andrew. Who used to be in our division.
Oh, yeah, the Red Rocket.
The Red Rocket.
Oh, baby. Leave Tigger where he at. he ain't got nothing for y'all, baby. Trust me on this one. We know Andrew where I come from. Yeah, we know Andrew around these parts. I'm a Ravens fan. We go way back. Yeah.
He's giving out gifts. He's giving out gifts every week. Every week.
Yeah. He gonna put y'all right at the top of the division. Whoever you want. Whatever y'all want. He'll never have that. No, that's not for Andy.
But yeah, I think if this year, I think obviously Aaron Rodgers is, you could say he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. That offense is probably gonna continue to dominate. I could see them making a deep playoff run. I don't know. Well, the defense kind of kept them in some games last year, but it's tough over there in the NFC. I mean, of course, as much as I hate to say it, Tom Brady is still Tom Brady. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he played to the age of 50. But him coming back, apparently off of a torn knee or whatever, he's, man, you know, they're hailing him as Superman. Come on, you think he lying? On, dang, he had no torn ligaments.
That boy lying. That boy, man, no. Come on now. All I heard was Soulja Boy telling the story. That's all I heard was Soulja Boy telling lies when they had somebody's knee. Like, come on, bro. Come on, man. Get out of here.
So Tom is Soulja Boy. He was the first to
and
do
you know
that.
What? I see it.
The bigger discussion needs to be happening is that defense carried that team in the playoffs anyway. So, I mean, I get it. Tom Brady is an amazing quarterback. He's going to go down in the Hall of Fame as one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen, especially for our generation. But truth be told, that defense.
Oh, no. They played the ass off.
So, you know. That's all I mean, talking
about the defending champ here. That's, you know, that's a fighting word.
Seven-time champ, Tom Brady, Dane.
The champ.
I don't support that man either.
But I'm not scared. I'm not scared of another Buccaneers playoff run. They, you know, I got to see it to believe it. I don't know. That's just me, though.
How do you think the Packers are fair, Chappelle?
I mean, you know, they got that bad man. You know what I'm saying? As long as Aaron wants to give them his talents, they're going to be in the running because he's a bad man. But, I mean, are we worried about them winning Super Bowl? Probably not. This ain't for them no more, you know. And he going to move on to bigger and better things. They need to start preparing for his exit.
I don't know about Jordan Love, man. I feel like this is one of those situations where I mean, I haven't seen him play on the field in the NFL, but it might be a deer in the headlights kind of thing when, you know, I mean, eventually they're turning the keys over to him, but it's just a matter of putting him in the best position to win, because obviously this is the last run with Aaron Rodgers. So just be prepared for life after him. And it'll be funny, like, as much as Aaron Rodgers or the reports, like, he's upset about not getting enough help, like, after he leaves, they give Jordan Love all the weapons that he needs, like, to be successful. I feel like something like that'll kind of happen.
But that'd be crazy. Slap in the face. Yeah. Slap in the face.
That's how it go.
Like, they just, oh my gosh.
That's how it go. Whenever you don't like the place you work, you be complaining, like, they don't got enough staff, they ain't got enough help, blah, blah, they don't care about it. The moment you quit and get a new job, they bring in the next person. Well, we brought in an assistant director to help you with this, and we brought in a coordinator to do that for you, and we went ahead and automated this. Right. Like, where did y'all get this magic from? I didn't think we had that here in the ghetto, you know? So I see it happen for them.
You didn't even have an espresso machine.
Yeah, where'd y'all get that?
When you leave, you know, ping pong tables, you got laser boys.
You graduate from school, man, and you come back like 3 years later. You're like, when did y'all get an indoor jacuzzi in the library? What did that?
Bro, that's literally happening to our high school right now. They redoing y'all our whole Chick-fil-A high school renovation.
Popeyes from down the street. Yeah. It's time to be changing, nice, man. They're gonna do it. They're gonna do Aaron Rodgers just like that. Yeah.
Man, staying in the quarterback news, man, the Houston Texans. This is a crazy situation, obviously, with Deshaun Watson. There are reports are coming out, and we can kind of debate on where these reports are coming from as far as the Houston Texans now willing to trade their star quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who is currently has a lot more important things, other things to worry about as far as the civil suits that he's going through right now, man. I guess my question with Deshaun Watson is, if a team decides to take that gamble on him, obviously with everything that's is expected to happen as far as what the potential punishment could be from the NFL, what can you see a team desperate enough to risk maybe 1, 2, 3 first round picks to a guy that's probably going to sit out who knows how long?
This is insanity, right? Like, y'all, we all saw that and was like, what is happening here, right? Yes. Like, dang, yep. Am I tripping?
Nope. Not at all.
This is shenanigans.
Like, so we're not just going to talk about it. Like, I seen all this. Like, so we just not going to talk about the elephant in the room? This man got at least 20 different reasons of why he shouldn't be traded or why he should be on the NFL's exempt list right now. But,
yeah.
Like, old boy from TikTok.
They say. Like,
I can get past trading for a quarterback. I can get past trading 3 first-round picks for a quarterback. What I can't wrap my mind around is a quarterback that's surrounded in this much controversy, these many allegations, is possibly trading 3-round picks for him and all that baggage. And then, of course, the presser, the first presser with the jersey propped up on the table and the old, you know, diminished AFC championship trophies from, you know, 50 years ago sitting in the background. And the first question, be like, so what are your thoughts on signing a quarterback with this much baggage and, you know, the sexual allegations? Like,
because that's the first question.
That's you got to deal with that. And that don't sit right with me. Like, I'm uncomfortable. That secondhand embarrassment and shame, I got that for me anytime I see that dude's name pop up. And I don't know. The NFL is a crazy place, and I know it's a circus at times, but I don't know how you navigate those waters.
I think it's one of those situations, like the NFL right now, the NFL is like this. They got their hands up. They like everyone, like how we looked at each other when I brought up Deshaun Watson. Yeah. That's how the situation is right now. Like, we all looked at each other like, do y'all see what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
do y'all see that roach over there sitting on the wall? Like,
right.
It's like one of them situations. Like, hey, bro, like, there's food over here. And
man, it's like, yeah, it's one of those. It's like going to your point, Dane, how is he not on the exempt list? And I guess, you know, as much praise as we gave the NFL. As much praise as we gave the NFL earlier, it's like now it's the other half of it. Like, all right, what are y'all doing over here with this situation? Because one of the things, and I saw a tweet, I can't pull it up now, but one of the arguments from Deshaun Watson's camp was, you know, all the allegations are people are, you know, that they just want money and extortion, you know, for everything. But the other side of that is the number, and not all of them are, you know, pursuing money. Some are, you know, making that claim, but they don't want anything in return. So, you know, that's kind of like the disconnect where whatever that the camp of Deshaun Watson is saying is like, bro, that's not a good look.
This is tough. I think it even further, you know, beyond the press conference questions and just the public embarrassment and just having to deal with all of that bad publicity, you could trade away 3 first round picks and this man go to jail. And then you're like, ooh, dang, like this man in jail, we can't do nothing for like 4 years, basically. Like, what are we doing here?
And then Houston would be in the country rubbing their hands like,
yeah, you see it.
So I ask this next question. Which team is going to do it? Because somebody, man. I don't know, man. I think somebody's going to do it.
Somebody got to be desperate.
They got to be desperate.
No offense to Dame, but, you know, it's one team that love a good criminal, but they don't need a quarterback right now. And that's your boys over in Dallas. They love a good criminal. Yeah, they love a criminal, man.
Man, no shortage of them. They stoop low, too. When they brought back Josh Brent after he killed the team, I was like, bro, like, this is.
That was wild.
This is awkward. Like, bro,
even who played in the league again? Dante Stallworth. Y'all remember that when he killed that guy?
Yeah.
And he came back. That's crazy. Man.
I mean, awkward. Ray Lewis beat the case. So I said Ray Lewis beat his case, so he innocent technically. It was self defense.
I pay off thousands of families.
Baltimore, we don't condone that kind of nonsense anymore.
Yeah,
allegedly.
I can't say the same for Dallas.
Yeah, there was reports that were saying the Eagles have, like, not the Eagles have reached out, but as far as what Houston claims they want, as far as the 3 first round picks, the Eagles are equipped to do that. Like I said, it's too much of a risk at this point. I don't know, man.
This man could go to jail. Like, that's the wildest part.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, whenever you sign a player, you take the risk of them getting hurt and all these other factors in. Mm-hmm. But you mean to tell me you gonna sign someone who we know is one gavel, boom, away from going to jail? Like, it ain't no, he is in litigation right now. Like, it's not like, oh, what, maybe one day. No, like right now, he could go to jail. That's wild.
Right.
That's a choice. I don't know if they should do that, but. You know what? I like a little mess. Let's see somebody do it. Let's see it happen. I rooted for the Browns to do it personally. Let the Browns do it.
Anybody in your division, right?
Oh, the Steelers. Let the Steelers be there. Yeah, they got a criminal on their team already. Get Ben out of here and tag in Deshaun. Look, Ben only got a few more snaps in his career coming up. You know, maybe they want to prep.
This might be the last hurrah for Ben too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about the Broncos?
No.
Should I just slip that in there?
We lost all the Aaron Rodgers thing. We rolling with Teddy and Drew now, man.
That boy will be listening to Jeezy on the sidelines. But not scoring no points.
I want him to be known for more than that, like playing the quarterback position well. But unfortunately, this is.
I'm cool. I'm hip.
This is where he's at this point.
I listen to Jeezy.
Yeah. Hey, he's bouncing back.
Right,
10 wins. 10 wins for the Broncos this year, man.
Call that your bodyguard. Yeah, that's my bodyguard. All right, Drew, I see you.
He said he, bro, when they interviewed him after, he said he could remember what song it was, and I was disappointed. What song were you rapping? He didn't even know. I was like, of course he didn't know.
Of course he didn't know.
Of
course
he didn't.
One barbershop in East Denver. Yeah. You go go to Von Miller House one time, and now you think you know Jeezy. Okay, I see you, Drew.
I think Jeezy tweeted him back, too, or something like that, after that happened, too. So that only blew it up even more. That only blew it
up even
more.
This is a pro Gucci Mane podcast, so we don't acknowledge that either.
Of course. Yeah.
Y'all been watching Olympics?
I ain't gonna cap.
You know.
I ain't gonna cap.
Y'all ain't been watching Olympics, man? Team USA?
I mean,
Team USA basketball sucked the air out of my lungs because I got nothing left in me to try to stay up at these random crazy times of night just to watch teams get their asses kicked.
Yeah, first of all, the
red, white, and blue. I'm good on that.
I don't know if y'all agree with me on this, but the random time, I know it's over in Japan, but the way that they broadcast it here in America has been insane. Like, it's very hard to keep up with, for one. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have YouTube TV where, like, they have, like, they're definitely, like, having, like, the actual sports. Like, literally, when you open the app, it's every single sport above, like, showing which one, but they're not live. Some is not live. Some are live. So it's very confusing to kind of figure out what's what. But I did watch Team USA basketball at like 6, 7 a.m. 2 days ago. And I feel like this team just is, for one, which I kind of agree with what most people are saying, they're not adjusted to the FIBA rules, which is they don't reward flopping. It's a lot more physical play than what they get in the NBA. The chemistry of this team is different. I think only two guys were on the last Olympic team 4 years ago.
Like a bunch of excuses, what you're saying, brother.
No, I'm not. I'm laying down the groundwork. I'm laying down the groundwork for my argument. Brother. I'm just saying, like, this specific team is not, like, the effort is not there. The cohesiveness is not there, so to speak. So I think that, I don't know, man. I don't see this team winning gold, obviously, but have y'all seen highlights of what they've been playing, or like they've been playing?
Yeah, I see some highlights. You know, I'm more concerned with Slovenia and my president over there playing for them, Luka. Luka gonna get his gold medal, and y'all never gonna hear the end of me. I'm gonna be on the bad boy in the comment section. I'm gonna be in the comment section loud, talking noise. Luka doing his thing, man.
Luka the God. I respect.
They gonna have to block me, bro. They gonna have to block me behind that chunky white boy.
I did see you tweet that. You said, let Luka win gold. Y'all got to block me. That's exactly what
y'all
you tweeted.
Y'all gonna have to block me. Nothing in this world makes me madder than when people compare their favorite player to my favorite players. With all of this, I listened to y'all talk about this a few weeks ago when y'all were talking about Giannis and how people were saying, like, oh, this is a top five player. Put him above such and such. Bro, I seen somebody trying to put him in front of Dirk. I was like, okay, well, I got to block you, protect my peace, and so I don't pull up. Yeah. You know. And so with Luka, it's the same thing. Like, I had to root against y'all boy Trey. I was like, I mean, he a villain. I like watching him play, but y'all getting too fancy talking bad about Luka at the expense,
they hopping,
you know,
on the Trey train.
Look at Trey get to the second round, but Luka going out. Whoa, hold on, baby. Hold on, baby. We're not doing that right now. So if Luka get a gold medal, y'all just gonna have to hear from me. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, Luka went off, bro. You know, he's played internationally even before he got to the NBA. So this type of play style, the way he plays and the way FIBA is set up, it's easy for, like, I think I could start watching at halftime. He had already had 31 points at the half in 20 minutes of play because they don't have 12 minute quarters, only 10 minutes. I'm like, God dang. And I watched him play, bro, and he is like, literally, like, if he had skates on his feet, you wouldn't know the difference because that's how he's going around these defenders. It's like easy to this dude. And like, I'm just sitting back, and I'm like, bro, what can this dude not do? And so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they're in the gold medal game. But watching him play is on another level as far as the way he competes against other, you know, international players and stuff like that. To Team USA, I think what they need is somebody in the paint to be a defender. Right now you got freaking Draymond Green in the paint defending. That's your best defender in the paint. That's not going to get it done. Especially with the FIBA rules. I don't know if y'all familiar, but like there's no three in
paint,
the key.
No paint.
And like, so Rudy Gobert was just literally sitting in the paint just all chilling. Day. just being a wall, right? Like, and so they 2K. Need to be able to, maybe this is wild, but maybe even put JaVale McGee in there and see what he can do. Woo. As crazy as we think that idea might be. Bro, yeah, it's wild, but you got to try something. He's 7 foot tall. Just put him in the paint and see what he can do.
Nah, that's fair.
At this point, I'm at a loss for what those guys can do on the court.
Didi, see, they let Rudy Gobert come in and give half the NBA COVID, and now he about to shut them down in the Olympics. Allegedly give half the NBA COVID.
Allegedly.
But y'all gonna let this man do like a national disaster on us twice internationally twice? Okay, that's fine. I see y'all. Y'all looking funny in the light, but I see y'all. Couldn't be me though.
Man, yeah. Crazy. They're playing in group play, so they lost to France. But their next two games, they should win. They're playing the Czech Republic, I think, and then Iran. Bro, they know what they're losing to. They're not losing to no Iran in basketball, bro, or the Czech Republic. They should win those.
Who on Iran team?
Exactly.
Who we know? No, who we know?
NBA players.
At this point, I'd probably be watching just for the sake of critiquing. Like, how you missed that? Let him do that to you, man.
Yeah.
Hope y'all don't see friends again. Like, I'm gonna be back there dropping mad ad-libs because I'm just not convinced. And we talked about this. I think this will be the third straight podcast we talked about this team. Just we don't have that guy. We have a coalition of guys, but we don't have that guy.
The guy that's supposed to be that guy had 10 points, and that's Kevin Durant. He obviously has to step
horrible.
Up. Like
shot horrible.
He shot. He played bad. Like. He looked like he did at the end or that overtime game when they got knocked out by the Bucks. Like, he looked tired and disinterested, as well as Dame Lillard. Like, Dame is passing up wide open threes. And you had a guy like Jrue Holiday that just won a title in the States, hopped on a plane. And, you know, he's the leading scorer, 18 points. I'm like, bro, this is ridiculous. But, I mean, not to knock Jrue Holiday. He's great. And he might be, you know what I'm saying, the perfect player for, you know, Team USA as far as the way he plays on the defensive side of the ball, being aggressive and, you know, the refs not really being with those ticky-tack fouls, allowing the players to play aggressive. So, yeah, I think he should probably start over Dame because, I mean, on the defensive end, he's playing better than him. And offensively, I mean, at least the last. I mean, he only played one game, and he did better than Dame's played so far. So
it'd be kind of cool to see Dame come off the bench.
Bro, he would kill right in that second unit.
He would kill.
But yeah, man, we'll see how Team USA rebounds. But so y'all said y'all haven't watched much of the Olympics. Karina and I have been flipping through these different sports and seeing stuff that I hadn't seen before, and. One sport that caught my eye, bro, that I just I immediately laughed, but I like gravitated towards. Have y'all seen handball?
Yeah.
I'm familiar with handball, but I didn't know there was a beach handball as well. There's controversy right now in the beach handball world. I saw that on Twitter today.
I didn't even know there was beach.
Yeah, there's a beach handball, kind of like volleyball, I guess. And the women are saying, like, hey, our uniform restrictions are too, like, strenuous. Like, they have to wear a bikini. Mm-hmm. They have to wear, you know, it has to be a certain length. It's like, well, the dude's out there in shorts and a tank top. So they're doing a lot of, like, fighting for, you know, equality in that area. And that's the only reason I found out about that beach handball, because I had no clue this existed. Did you and Karina watch a lot of it, or y'all just kind of saw it and kept moving?
I watched it for, like, at least 20 minutes. I can't remember the countries, but... They like for the regular handball, they play like literally looks like a basketball court, and it's like soccer, but you're running with the ball in your hand. I don't know if the beach part is similar, but you're literally throwing it into the net, and like they're running plays and like running like weaves, ins and outs. And I learned today that there's some rule where you can only take like 3 steps, but you got to throw it. It's crazy the amount of like different sports that I didn't know about, but I feel like this is like the typical sport that you would play in like a PE class in middle school or something, but it was very fun to watch.
It's the most exciting sport you can think about seeing every 4 years is handball.
Yeah.
You know,
they need to quit playing and do like an Olympic flag football team too. That'd be crazy.
The Olympics like rotates in and out these like lesser known sports. I remember like two or three Olympics ago, I was sitting there and I swear it was like two or three in the morning, and I see these people jumping on a trampoline, and that was the whole sport. It was just trampoline, and they were jumping like 20, 30 feet in the air on a trampoline, just doing flips. And now it's gone. Boom. Trampoline over with. But now we got skateboarding. I was flipping through channels the other day and I did watch skateboarding. And then I saw like a kayaking thing that looked like Global Guts. I said, wait, if I knew this was going to be an Olympic sport, baby, I could have got the practice in on Nickelodeon years ago. I didn't know they still did that kind of thing. That was cool. They got a lot.
Facts. That sport, and then the freaking speed walking. Please tell me I saw the clip of speed. I just saw the clip on Twitter, but they moving so quick, and then I showed Karina, I was like, she's like, going, why don't they just run? I said, that's not it. It's speed walking.
That's not it.
Gotta be flexible.
Dane, what constitutes like a jog from a walk? Like, how, at what point is it like, you broke the rules, you got to get out?
I think they said like a heel, and I think your heels have to either, when the heel is touching the ground, one of the, it's something with, I can't remember what it was. I remember we watched the stupid video about what's the difference between this and that, and it was like your heel had to touch the ground at the same time that you're, or heel, one of the heels had to be on the ground. It was something with the heel. It's something with the heel. I'll come back to you guys with the research, but it's something with the heel.
Do they have an official segment of the Olympics? Well, I need to know, do they have an official who's like monitoring each step and making sure, like, I seen your heel, baby. Yeah. Come on back.
How would you know, right?
10-second penalty. That's it. Sorry. They get ejected from the race. Yeah. I see you jogging. Get out.
Facts. Yeah, that's a cool one. And then they got the three versus three basketball in the Olympics, which U.S. on the girls' side, USA dominated. I don't think the men have a 3-on-3 team, which that'd probably be the only opportunity to get gold in basketball as far as the men's concerned.
Ice Cube when you need him for the big three. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, man. Mikey Williams, Dane, we talked about Mikey Williams like way far back in a few of our earlier episodes. Young prospect, basketball prospect, won't be eligible for the draft until 2024. And, you know, the last few podcasts, we've also talked about the NIL rule coming up. This is from ESPN. He signs with XL Sports for NIL deal expected to generate millions for him. Exclusive scoring guard, Mikey Williams, is from Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj Bomb. Explosive scoring guard Mikey Williams won't be eligible for the NBA draft until 2024 and still has nearly 2 years to decide on college basketball or a pro pathway. Yet his massive social media following, more than 5 million followers across multiple platforms, has allowed Williams to become the first prep basketball star to sign with the major sports representation agency to pursue name, image, and likeness endorsements and sponsorships. It was only a matter of time. It's just a matter of who got to him first, man. We've always advocated, you know, even before the NIL rule passed, for, you know, young athletes to get paid. And, you know, we'll see more things like this. But for a guy like Mike Williams, this is one of plenty. If he decides to go to college, if he decides to go straight to the pro route, he's already going to be making so much money, man. It's ridiculous. What y'all think about it?
All I think was this man was the number 7th ranked player of his class. So what kind of money is waiting on the doorstep of numbers 1 through 6? That's what I want to know. I mean, obviously he has a large following, which is dope, which is cool. Leverage that. Do your thing. But if he's gonna be seeing those type of dollars, I'm gonna see what's 1 through 6 getting. But I mean, this is dope, bro. Like, we've been hoping and being very wishful and optimistic about this opportunity for these young players to get their due, and it's kind of cool to see it happening in real time, especially for someone, you know, someone that young. So it's beautiful.
I do think it's fascinating, though, that part of the reason why he's able to sign this deal is because of his following, right? So it's like, it's kind of like there is he falls into two categories. He falls into influencer and basketball player. Like, yes, he's an extraordinary basketball player, but if he had 5 million followers, which makes him very attractive to get like endorsements for, that's wild. Because if he didn't have 5 million followers, it makes him less attractive. And so that means like the next player doesn't have to be as good as him, but can bring in 6, 7, 8 million, you know, followers. And then you say, well, yeah. You know, like you said, Dan, he's number 7. So, you know, that puts him at number 1 when you got the following, you know, when you got Instagram, TikTok behind you. So it almost adds another layer into the game. Like, okay, are you good, but do you have followers? You know, like, okay, you cool, but are you popular? You know, have you released... You know, have you released the dance yet? You know, imagine high school LeBron James, you know, everybody was waiting on him to come out. But so what if his agent pulls it to the side like, well, LeBron, have you made a TikTok yet? You're like, what? Like, dog, I just want to play basketball. Like, no, you got your TikTok, baby. You know, like, you ain't got your TikTok game up. What you doing here?
Give it the time.
So, I think it's interesting.
Need you to go over here and do this dance.
Yeah.
Watch you ever done right, though, to go along with that, Chappelle, like, I mean, I think LeBron has tweeted about him and even had him on the Instagram. I know for sure I've seen Drake put him on the Instagram and tweet about him a long time. And that's, I mean, when that happened, that's, you know, that's set. Like, he, without, I mean, he's a great player, obviously, and I've seen highlights of him, but having this aspect of it, you bring up a great point. Like, being able to, all right, who's following you? Like, all about your brand. Like, exactly what this is going to be about. So for a player like Mikey, where, I mean, taking advantage, and you're going to see this more and more, maybe with even younger athletes, like, he's not eligible till 2024. And like, I mean, it's two or three years down the line before he even steps on the NBA court, and this dude is making millions. It's insane. And like, goes along with, you know, stuff like what we talked about previously with, you know, what's going on with the conference realignment and, you know, Texas and OU going to the SEC. The SEC is the, you know, top college football conference. And so I think what Texas and OU are thinking is bringing their brand up. You know, they're top football programs, you know, athletic programs in general, but going to a conference that's the top conference. And so players are probably going to be more attracted to going to those teams because they're in the top conference. And when you're thinking about the NIL aspect, that brand is just going right up on with it.
Yeah. I think my only question is, like, can we all see a world where this is just good for branding of, you know, these young, especially these young Black players who we see oftentimes on draft day where, like, the problematic tweets come out or, you know, the past photos come out or they said this. But now with their brand being so important, right, your skills cannot only speak for yourself because you got to have the same, you know, you got to be marketable. So now maybe that incentivizes them to have management that will help them clean that up and, you know, keep a good image so that when they, you know, when they do become, you know, star athletes, they also can be role models at the same time, as opposed to us saying, well, don't let these athletes be your role model because, you know, they're good at one thing, but they don't make them a good person. Like, no, this might actually incentivize them to kind of act, you know, in a way that is becoming, you know, of someone who is going to be in the limelight making a ton of money.
That's a good point. More, and on top of that, to encourage them, like you said, to step away from the rowdy bunch that they usually run it with.
Yeah, I like that. Good for him.
Go Mikey, bring us all something. Sponsor the podcast.
Yes.
All right, now on to
what's that sound?
Our nerdy news segment, sponsored by our guy Keith, providing the music, providing the tunes for us. Did you ever finish Loki? Nope. So we can't talk about Loki with Brandon.
You're talking to Dane, right?
Nope.
No. Oh, you're talking to me?
Talking to you. I know you ain't finished it.
I read the Cliff Notes. I know what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Dane.
I got the gist of
it. Said Loki, it bored.
I was bored, man. But I do like what I read. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm going to have to go back and
before
watch
I
it.
Get to judging you. What's your speed? What's your comic book speed as far as movie adaptations? Like, what's your, you know, I can watch this any time of the day. Your top, not even your top three, but just what's, you know, I can get.
No, as far as movie adaptations, you know, the MCU don't really miss too much for me. But I mean, like, people talk about their top five MCU movies, and like the Winter Soldier is the best one. It is not close. But then, like, you know, then you got like Black Panther, Thor Ragnarok, both up there. I think Doctor Strange as well. Of course, Infinity War, probably over Endgame. Those are kind of like the big ones for me that I like love. I could watch Winter Soldier all day, every day, you know, on the loop.
The fighting, the hand-to-hand.
Like, hey, and it's on every day on TNT, like every day.
Yeah. And I watch it every time it's on, you know? So, you know, that's kind of my thing. But I'm a unapologetic Bat stan. You know, I'm a Batman fan, Batman. You know what I'm saying? That's my guy. So, you know, and I like Batman warts and all. I mean, Batman with the nipples, you know, Batman Forever. That was all the Batman. Those were my Batmanses. That's my guy, man. He can do no wrong in my eyes.
They really so you've got seen away the with that,
you've seen the Batman slander Twitter account, have you?
Where they ripping, I blocked them. They you got know jokes what I'm saying? On Batman
all day.
They blocked. No, they blocked. I see. But now I gotta unblock them because I don't know if you saw this, but I got the Twitter dislike button today. So I got some havoc to wreak. Okay, you want to talk about variants? Yeah, I'm creating burners just to use the dislike. Yeah, I'm finna just like all that stuff. Mess the algorithm all up. The algae rhythm. I'm about to screw that all up.
So listeners and viewers, you can see Chappelle is up there in the status. You know, he's up there. He already got the dislike button from Twitter. Like we got a celeb over here, man.
We are not worthy.
Man, nah.
But I'm right there with you, Chappelle. Like, I love Batman. Batman's my favorite superhero. Question. Batman's my favorite hero. Hey, Keith. Hey, let me have this one, man.
Keith.
Let me have this one, Keith. So, look. I love the hell out of Batman. Keith. But I also enjoy seeing him get his ass slandered online. Yeah. It's funny as hell. Like, seeing how, you know, you got the Joker sitting in the shadows with a crowbar and then him walking by, and it's like Superman ain't getting his ass knocked out by no damn crowbar, unless it's a crowbar made out of kryptonite or something like that. I understand.
Nah. Yeah.
It's still funny, but that's still my dog. That's still my dog.
I remember when that was the Batman and Robin, the one Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
When that one came out, wasn't that Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
So when that came out, I remember having every single toy action figure from that movie. And so at that time, obviously before the Batman trilogy that we liked, The Dark Knight, you know, all that. That was my favorite Batman movie.
Christopher Nolan trilogy.
Yes, thank you. Christopher Nolan trilogy. That was my particular one that I like. That was the Batman nipples one, too, at the very beginning.
Yeah.
We used to always laugh at that as a kid. That's crazy. Yeah.
When they putting on a suit and they showed like the poof, I'm like, come on, bro.
he had to ice them nipples down to get them hard enough for that vest. Like bring in the nipple icer,
funny,
please.
Man. Oh man, too freaking funny!
Like somebody get Batman some nipple ice. We going low on the set.
Turn on the AC.
speaking of DC, we got a report from the Collider. Michael B. Jordan is developing his own Black Superman project for HBO Max. I'll just read the first two paragraphs. Michael B. Jordan and his production company Outlier Society are developing their own Black Superman project for HBO Max that centers on the Val Zod incarnation of the character, which I'm not familiar with. Maybe y'all are. Sources say that Outlier Society has hired a writer who is currently working on the script. Okay. I like Michael B. Jordan. I enjoyed his portrayal of Killmonger in Black Panther. It was an incredible performance. I will check this out whenever it drops. But first thoughts when I saw this was like, I went back to how I feel about DC, and Dane, we talked about this a lot. There's so much going on in DC right now.
Leave it alone.
As far as when we look at DC compared to what Marvel has done and the path that Marvel has created, I feel like DC is still trying to play catch up, and we don't know what's going on. We still haven't, like, I still don't know if Henry Cavill is our Superman. Reports are saying he is. Reports are saying he isn't. Even what's going on with the Batman. We have multiple Batman now. Ben Affleck's back. Maybe he's not. He is supposed to be in the Flash movie. But then you got Michael Keaton Batman that's supposed to be in the Flash movie as well, which we know they're doing multiverse kind of stuff in that. But at the same time, we don't know what happened to Henry Cavill. And then you got this project going on. I guess they're trying to go for different entities where everything is separate. But I think I'm so accustomed to how MCU has done things. I've been spoiled a little bit how everything has run over there as far as having their sagas and their stories connect, that I'm kind of like, I'll check it out, but I'm not, it's not on the top of my list.
Here's the thing. It rubs me a little bit the wrong way, because to write all this, all they had to do from the jump is bring in Ray Fisher, apologize. That's all they had to do. And instead, they're like, oh, what can we do? Let's get some black people and throw them in a superhero movie, and this will fix everything. They'll see we're hip, we're cool, we can get with the times. Like, No. Only thing you're doing is not addressing where you went wrong yet. Alienating one of your stars and making him feel in such a way that he didn't want anything to do with the particular project. In doing so much, you're only making it look a lot worse by not acknowledging the elephant in the room, the mistreatment that this man went through. So I think the best thing you could do is get in front of that, make amends with him before you try to shoehorn an arm of a universe in with nothing but black people and further piss off the nerd community. And because this, I know that he exists. I believe he's either an adopted or an orphan relative, a brother of some sort. But I just don't think, I love Michael B. Jordan. I don't know. This one's a no for me.
You think
me,
it's
y'all.
A ploy, a Warner Brothers ploy?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's definitely one of those. Hey, just get a black dude in there and do this. Like, smells funny to me. I don't know.
They bringing out the big guns. I saw Ta-Nehisi Coates was supposed to be the one like doing the script and something like that. So they reached into their black bag and was like, okay, let's.
Oh
yeah, I think it's in that article that you sent us. It said that I think he was like rumored to be working on the script as we speak. And so yeah, I think they reached into their black bag and kind of. Yeah, see exactly. They're like, okay, let's do that.
I think actually have my attention again.
Yeah, I think I think what it is like there was two different Superman iterations in that article, right? So it was the Michael B. Jordan is doing his Black Superman, but then J.J. Abrams is the one who brought in Ta-Nehisi Coates. So J.J. Abrams said, "Nah, let me legitimize this a bit." Michael B. Jordan, y'all were kind. I won't be. I will say that in the Black Panther, it was very clear that he was the weakest of the actors. And to be fair, he was surrounded by Oscar-winning actors left and right. Forrest Whitaker, Angela Bassett. Like, these people, these hard-hitting people were out there with him. Like, Chadwick was out there. The man was out of his Justice League, okay? I don't mind that he's trying to put himself in these roles. But, I mean, the man ain't just doing no heavy hitting. Like, I think he peaked at Hardball, as far as his acting abilities go. So I'm not ever just eager to.
I think he did an amazing job.
You didn't like Hardball?
I think he did an amazing job.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
I'm saying that Hardball was a long time ago. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, I love it when you call me Big Papa. What are you talking about? Yeah, I just don't think he's ever become the person that people think that he is. So for me, this is fine, but I don't think this makes any difference in the overarching like DC universe that they're trying to build. This is just like his pet project.
I need to know and get an update on Static Shock. That's what I'm waiting on. Ooh. They had said something about live action, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read that a while.
I heard some rumors.
Yeah, I read
that
a while back. Yeah,
I'll be excited when Static Shock comes out.
I think they don't understand how much black people love Static Shock. Like, black people like Static Shock like how black people like Jeff Hardy. Like, it's in the same, we have a picture of him on our wall if we could. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he don't need a comic strip from back in the day. We just needed that one WB cartoon and we were sold, okay? So I think if they knew that, they could tap into that base and really capitalize on the black dollar, because they're missing the mark by not having that. I would have been had that out, okay? We'd be on Static Shock 3 by now.
Right. So, Dane, you had mentioned as far as WB trying to, Warner Brothers, DC, whatever, trying to make up for what they missed with Ray Fisher.
Yeah.
Take
yeah,
Ray Fisher
that's
out.
That's conspiracy, brother. That's conspiracy, brother Beasley. Okay. That's the
okay. Mm. I got another one for you. If what can they do in your eyes at this point, from this point forward, to be right with you?
To me, for me personally?
Yeah, you.
All right, so you know how they always have these particular open panels, right? I'm glad you said this.
They have a panel.
Like in Comic-Con, when they bring out all the actors and they're promoting a movie that no one knows about, and they say, right, starring so-and-so, and they bring them out, they'd have to have a panel of these particular people to answer not only to the Ray Fishers of the world, but to there's a lot of, how can I say this? Anybody who's watched that Justice League movie and then watched the Snyder Cut, you see how it's night and day. Like completely night and day. There are a lot of not only racial undertones, but a lot of people, a lot of minorities in that film were simply the arcs they had were just completely cut out, ripped apart, and just dismantled.
Green Lantern.
Yeah. They have to answer for all of that. And the only way to do that is allow the fans to ask those hard questions, allow people who write for a living to ask those tough questions. And they'd have to answer honestly, whose decision was it to make, or why was this decision made to do this? And why were the thoughts and the feelings and the creative baby that Zack Snyder entrusted you guys with? Why was that, you know, basically taken to the dumpster and thrown away? They'd have to answer to the comic book community about that first, because it's not just black people that are pissed off about it. We plenty of people, plenty of white folks are pissed off about it, too. As much fan service as we hope to see in that original Zack Snyder or in the original Justice League movie, a lot of people were pissed off about it. But I think that would be a start. The reconciliation would start there. And then, of course, from there, I don't know. The sky's the limit. But addressing the elephant in the room would be the first step for me, at least, for me to even give them, like, you know what? I see growth just a little bit. So
I think there's still some people up top, the Jeff Johns and other people that are still part of that company that, you know, apparently, like what Ray Fisher was saying, feel some type of way about certain kind of people. So until those people are, you know, not in the company, you'll probably see, you know, them continue to, you know, do what they've been doing as far as people of color in these particular films or shows.
And
yeah. So we'll have to see what, you know, the future of WB and DC holds. The last topic we got, Chappelle, again, man, we appreciate you coming on, bro. Is this the first sports podcast you've been on?
Yeah, I think so. Can you, is it obvious? Am I like, I don't know what I'm doing?
No, not at all. Yeah, I didn't mean it like that. I was,
we just felt
yes.
Oh, hey, man. Yeah. If y'all call, I will show up anytime. Just let me know.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you. This last story, I put this story in here for a certain reason. I didn't put it in the notes. I'm going to test y'all right now. But I'm going to get there. I know, like, this why you right. put this story in here? All right, I'm going to get there. Coming from the world of video games, we talk video games. PES has been renamed eFootball and is fully free to play. Konami has officially renamed the Pro Evolution Soccer Series eFootball and it will become a digital-only free-to-play game coming to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, blah, 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 with iOS and Android versions to follow. By this winter, all versions of the game will feature cross-play, although mobile players will need to use controllers to play against console and PC players. It's a major move for the football series rather than PES in the West. So, long story short, this game is going to be free to play now. This is like the rival game to FIFA. I love to play FIFA, but they're going free to play now, which means it's free. But in the article, it explains that the fans have the opportunity to download certain content that they want to play part of the game for a charge. The DLC that you want to play, like say, for instance, you want to play just a career mode. You're a career mode person. So you buy the game for free and download the DLC for $10, $15. Like, it's specifically geared towards what you want to do with the game. And so why I put this in here is because it kind of started my gears thinking about the games we like to play as far as the Maddens, the 2Ks. Do you think they would benefit with going towards this kind of model where the game is free? Now, there's a difference between benefit for the players and benefit for them, because we know money. But to the casual fan like us that like to play video games with, I feel like it'd be a great move if they went free to play and then did this format where, like, Dane, you know, we play 2K a lot, or we, if we just want to play online, we download that specific part of the game.
Well, I'm gonna come at you like this. They ain't no slouches. They've been in the game for a minute. In fact, Contra was one of the first games me and my sister we played when we were kids. Had no other video game experience. We started with Contra. If you don't know what that game is, YouTube it. For listeners, you might be too young for this one, but Google it. But along with Metal Gear Solid, Castlevania, mm-hmm. Frogger, Bomberman, my old people, they'll know Bomberman.
Bomberman.
Along with all those guys. I said all that to say this. They got a roster, so they know what the hell they're doing in terms of what they need to do to get the player, not only to get the player base, you know, up, but just to get people thinking like, okay, what they're doing is revolutionary. This is something I can get behind. I don't have any problems with it. If anything, it makes them trendsetters in this particular arena where we see a lot of these big name companies. I ain't gonna drop no names, Madden, but benefit off of gambling and microtransactions of, you know, little kids and teenagers and stuff like that. So if it helps turn the viewers away from doing stupid stuff like that, not stupid stuff like that, then I'm all for it, especially if it's, you know, them heading in the market way ahead of everybody else. Because you don't hear about any other gaming company saying, we're going to offer a product, and instead of them buying a brand new copy of this every single year, the same crap, the brand new menus, different colors, we're actually going to give them a free update every single year. And that's what we're going to do. That's brilliant. I'm all for it. I don't mind it, because at the end of the day, they're delivering a product to gamers instead of trying to line their pockets. So, I mean, we'll see where it goes. That's just my thoughts. But I love Frogger, so I'll leave it at that.
Yes, I agree. I think that there'll be trendsetters in this way, because, I mean, how many times do we have people complaining about, oh, I spent $60 on this game and then I got to download all the good stuff, you know? Or even like the little kids that play Fortnite, they playing Fortnite, but they mostly just downloading them dances. You know, they just want to hit the wall a few times, you know? And so now it's like, okay, well,
my nephew,
instead of you, my nephew. And, you know, instead of you buying the game, yeah. You want to floss, you know? So yeah,
he grabbed his mama credit card and bought like who knows how much worth of V-Bucks. Like, it was like last year, but yeah, like I told you, where exactly where you coming from, Chappelle? Oh yeah, he's still here with us.
Yeah, Deontay, though, what is your favorite game from this company? Because I know, like Dane said, I mean, these are the people who brought us Frogger. So what do you have a favorite game?
Yeah. Man, Konami. Okay, y'all, I don't know if y'all ever played this one, but back in the day, there was the Tiny Toons Adventure game.
Tiny Toons Adventure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, every now and then I go on a nostalgia trip and I download, or you don't even have to download it. You could easily type online emulators and play like old games. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be like a weird nostalgia trip. I'll go on and I'll play Tiny Toon Adventures on my computer for like 2 hours and just have fun with it. That was one of the top games I played as a kid. That, and they had the sports version of it where you play like soccer, basketball with all the little Tiny Toons characters.
Bowling. Yeah, Wii Sports, the original Wii Sports. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So yeah,
ahead of its time.
The Tiny Toons for sure, man.
Yeah, whenever I think about Konami, I think about being at like, I don't know, like Peter Piper Pizza or Chuck E. Cheese, and you walking around, you're looking at the arcade games, and then you see Bart Simpson on that skateboard with Marge with that vacuum cleaner, and you like fighting on the that's my game.
Could never beat that game. Lost a lot of money on that game.
I waste all my tokens on that game. Yeah, all my tokens going in that game. I love it.
Man, that was a classic. I got to pull up my list. I got to do a list like my top 10 video games, man, because that would be a crazy list.
Yes.
That's a homework assignment. I think so. That's a tough homework assignment.
Especially if you reach way back to like Battletoads and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good assignment. Yeah, y'all should do an episode of the podcast just for that.
Exactly. And I started thinking of Micro Machines. Y'all remember Micro Machines on Nintendo 64? Used to race the little cars like on table, like a table full of breakfast and plates. Used to race outside. That's exactly what I'm doing after we record, y'all. I'm just looking at all the games.
I'd have to get one for you. I'd have to hit you with the Oregon Trail of the Word Munchers. That's what I'd have to hit you
Oregon
with.
Oregon Trail.
You going down this road.
Yeah, it's
you
going back.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't real unless you die from diarrhea. Give me, you know what I'm Michael- saying? Like, come on now.
Dysentery for no reason. Give me Michael Jackson Moonwalker. Give me Moonwalker as my game of choice. Yeah.
That's a classic too,
I think,
man.
Y'all got something here. Y'all could do a whole show just on, you know, find your top 10 and compare them. I'd listen.
Yeah, we definitely gonna have to do that, man. Appreciate you, Chappelle, joining us again, my guy. Humble, thankful. Grateful for you joining us in our presence. Every time we have a guest, man, we like to give them the opportunity at the end to shout out anything, word of advice to our listeners, anything like that. And tell the people where to follow you.
Well, first and foremost, yeah, thank y'all for having me. I don't really have a lot of advice at this point. Just, you know, take care of yourself. It's a scary time with COVID and the Delta variant out there. And, you know, we laugh and we joke about some of these things, but ultimately we want everybody to be safe. And so if that means wearing your mask or you're getting vaccinated or whatever you have to do, take care of you and your family and the rest of the world at large, go ahead and handle that. But yeah, I can be found, like I said, on the Robinson Podcast Network, post-show recaps as well. I'm doing a bunch of guest spots this week. This is a busy week for me. So I think today covering this with y'all. But then, of course, I think tomorrow on the Purple Pants podcast, I'll be talking about Space Jam 2 in depth. I'll also be talking about Big Brother on Wednesday right after the show as our like follow up to the show, the after show that we do. And then I think Thursday I'm going to be recording a podcast. I think the Phineas and Ferb finale for the What You Doing podcast on Anchor.fm. So I got a lot going on. We just recorded Power Rangers, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers podcast. Yeah, we did Power Rangers, the movie, the original, you know, 95. I talked about it on the podcast. So that'll be, it's already been on our Patreon feed, but it'll be released to the public soon. So I got a lot of irons in the fire right now, but you can follow me at Chappelle's_show on Twitter. And I will follow back to dislike your tweets because I now have the power. I'm Thanos. And you guys will be lucky to be disliked. Yeah. Your sacrifice will not go unnoted.
Yeah, you see that schedule he just laid down? That's why we're definitely thankful he took the time out to join us here on the Duo, man. Podcast Poppy himself doing his thing. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you so much. Episode 55 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can also listen to this episodes on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, or on our website, www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com. We out.